In this episode, I answer a student's question about how to handle fear as an older rider, but it really applies to riders of any age. So here we go, episode 265, Ask Karen Anything, Fear. Hi, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses will show up for us. So, let's get started. Hello, lovely listeners. I hope this finds you and your horses happy and healthy. I recently posted on Facebook doing a little call out saying I was taking requests for the podcast. And in the show notes, there's always a link to where you can send in your questions. And you can always email me also. But I love to hear the question because it somehow comes out different when it's recorded than when I just read it. But anyway, but thank you to everybody who emailed or left a voice message or responded with a comment on that post. I've got some great ideas of things that I can talk about in upcoming podcast episodes. So, yay. So I picked this first one just because it's such a common occurrence. Fear is going to affect everybody at every point. Well, maybe not everybody. I'm sure there's some people out there who just never experience fear. That is wonderful. But for a lot of people, they just maybe are more fearful by nature, or there has been an incident at some point in the past, and now the fear is coming up. But anyway, it's a very, very common thing. And it's really important to acknowledge it and to have ways of dissolving that fear, because man, horses can sure feel it. And when your nervous system is all fired up like that, it's going to be, well, it's not as much fun, right? We're supposed to be doing this for fun, and fear can really take the fun out of things pretty quickly. All right, so I think we'll start just by playing you the message that I got.
Hi, Karen. It's Giselle Toner, and I wanted to know if you could do a podcast on riders that are getting a little bit older, who still love riding, still want to ride, but have a little bit of a confidence issue. So I started riding when I was really young with no fear whatsoever. And then I had a couple of accidents later on in life where I wasn't even riding, but it did involve horses. And one of them was a very serious accident where I got kicked in the stomach and it left me very, very shaken and in the hospital for a few days. And now I find myself worrying and hesitating to ride again. And I have gotten on my horses again, but I have a new one and he needs some training. And I find myself not even wanting to get on him. And I really love him. He is so beautiful and so kind. He's a wonderful horse. But I find myself worrying too much about it and not even riding as much as I should. So please let me know if you will be able to do something for us older riders that still want to get on and we need our confidence back. Thank you so much, Karen. And I love your work. Bye-bye.
So thank you, Giselle, for sending that message and for your honesty and your awareness of the whole picture. In these messages, I think it only lets you record like a minute and a half. And there's nothing like a time limit to help us like consolidate and figure out like, how am I actually going to express this question? And what are the most important pieces of the question? So I really love the time limit on the recorder, not because I don't want to hear, you know, more and everything from you guys, but I just, her question was so articulate and concise and has just the pieces that are really important. So I just wanted to kind of acknowledge that, because figuring out how to articulate your question in a concise, clear way is already a big step towards finding the solution. So anyway, so I just wanted to point that out. I have a whole blog somewhere about how to ask questions in order to get good answers. And this was a really good model of a nice, clear, concise question. So as I listened to it, I thought I'd just share, like, I'm just jotting things down as I'm listening to it in real time. And so I just thought I'd share what I jotted down, because I think that could be interesting, of like, what am I listening for so that I can give the best answer. So as she spoke, I wrote down, quote, a little bit of a confidence issue. So that's how she described it in the beginning. It's a little bit of a confidence issue. Now, by the end, we're finding out there's fear, there's an accident, and she's not riding. So I think it's more than a little bit of a confidence issue, but sometimes it's hard for us to admit that at first. But within a minute and a half, she got there. So I think the point here is we don't have to minimize it. It's like, yeah, it's a little bit of a confidence issue. I have a horse and I'm not riding it, and I love my horse and I want to ride. Okay. She mentioned there's an accident. So I wrote down the word accident. I wrote down the word shaken. So that's the accident happened and she was left shaken. So that's I think many of us can relate to that feeling of like we're shook to our core. I wrote down the word worrying, right? So worrying is imagining the future with a less than optimal outcome, a less than positive view of what the future might be. I also wrote down not wanting to. So she used the words, I'm finding myself not wanting to ride. All right. So that's an important thing, especially since she mentioned the accident wasn't even related to riding. Right. And so that really, for me, connects back to the shaken to the core. Right. So now it's not even isolated to the specific circumstance of where the accident happened. Like, this happened and now it's affecting bigger things or other things. She says she loves him. So I wrote down love him. I wrote down worrying. So that's the second time I wrote down worrying. And then in big capital letters, I wrote down the word should, because she used the word should. I'm not riding him like I should. So that's my shorthand, little cheater notes for what I grabbed out of her question. So let's dissect it. So now, first of all, disclaimer, I am not a trained psychologist or performance psychologist, right? So there are resources much more qualified than me. You can look up, we've had Dr. Jenny Susser is a friend of the pod, and she's been on. So you can look up her. I think she has some resources on fear. But what I am is someone who's ridden horses my whole life. In the earlier days, you know, not a fearful rider by nature. Like, I was pretty, like, I'll ride anything. But I am, you know, believe it or not, I have gotten older. I'm aging just like everybody else. So right now I am 61. I don't know if that's old or not old, but it's just what I am. And it's an age where I've definitely felt a shift in what I'm comfortable dealing with and riding through. I also have experienced some fear around horses related to a very specific accident that I had a long time ago. And I've had to recently kind of mitigate it and go through it and come out the other side of it quite successfully. So it is possible. But I guess the other thing I kind of said in the introduction to this podcast, that the fear doesn't have to be about age. So I think when you know, I'm 61, you feel a shift. There's just things that change. You know, I blasted through my 40s and 50s quite easily. And now I'm like, oh, huh. There's some differences here. So I think when any human gets to a certain age, because I know my husband's dealing with this too, that you're like, oh, things are different. And so when you're in this age period, it's easy to think of everything as related to age. I can't do this because of my age. I'm now more fearful because of my age. It's sort of present in our mind. And I think we're also, healthily aware that there's some time limits, right? We're a little more aware of the time limits. Now, the thing is, anybody can become afraid, no matter how old you are. And we all have time limits because we never know when we're going to go. So I think let's put it in the context of age, only in the, like, maybe there's a possibility for more wisdom to be showing up here, but that the age, and, you know, wisdom in that, like, yeah, maybe I don't want to have the option of, like, riding through the bucks on the wild Mustang. Like, let's just take that option off the table because that might be just wise. So let's embrace the wisdom of this age, but it doesn't have to be the factor, because I have seen young riders be fearful. I have seen young people have accidents and have trouble recovering from it. So that's the last I'll say about the age thing. There we go. All right. The thing that jumped out at me the most and that I wanted to start with is the thing that Giselle mentioned last. I'm not riding him as much as I should. So the should, you know, I wrote that in big old capital letters. And I think we can remove that. Should is a high pressure word. Should makes us feel bad about ourselves, because if we're thinking we should do something, it's sort of implied in that is that there's this, you know, right way thing that other people are going to look and say, you know, or maybe it's not other people, it's just our own brains. It's like, we're not doing this, and it's a little bit somehow related to wrong that we're not, or we're letting something down, ourselves, other people, our horse. So let's take out the word should. And like, what would happen if there was no should? You know, you love him, but you should be riding him. No, well, what if you just can love him? I don't think any horse goes around going, I should be being ridden right now. I mean, I think horses can get bored if they're used to being taken out and ridden, and now all of a sudden they're doing nothing and nothing's happening in their life and nobody has a reason to take them out of their stall. They might be thinking, hey, I wish someone would do that thing where I get to come out of my stall. Oh yeah, and there's someone sitting on top of me. But I don't, you know, I think they want to have entertainment. They want to have an interesting, non-boring life. But that doesn't mean riding, right? So there's lots of things we can do with horses. We can love them just as much and or more not riding them as we do riding them. So my first piece of advice is just take that word should off the table. There's no shoulds. And then what'll be interesting is to see what happens after that. And my hope is that by taking off that word should, there's like this great exhale. That we take that pressure. And hopefully from that release of the pressure, now you have time and now you can explore it a little differently. There's an analogy that just popped into my head that I often use with when I explain different kinds of leadership. And there's this one scenario where you can, you know, maybe your life depends on being able to cross this busy highway, right? So you're on one side and there's like flames coming, and the only way to survive is to get across the highway. You're with a child who's scared, and you just take them by the hand and you go, come on, we're going. And they're like, I don't want to cross the highway. Like, we're going. And you take them by the hand because you know you're saving their life, and you bring them to the other side. and it's worth it. You save their life. Another scenario that I picture, that I describe, is like, imagine you are about to do something really scary, like jump out of an airplane to go skydiving, and this is your first time doing it, and the door opens and they're like, okay, you have to go now, and you're afraid, and you just kind of say, you know, hang on a second, I need a moment. And the instructor's like, no, you should go right now. And you're like, I just need it. And then they push you. So when you have that word should, of like, I should do something, like, it kind of reminds me of that. Like, there's somebody in your mind that's going, you need to do it now. You need to do it now. And every fiber of your being is going, I don't want to do it now. I just need a moment. And how would you feel standing in that doorway of the plane? Let's say you want to jump out of the airplane. Like you signed up for it. You paid for it. You're there. You know you want to jump out of the plane, but you're a little scared. And imagine how you would feel if you thought, oh my God, someone's going to push me out, right? And how much trust would you have for that person in the future if they just, you're like, hang on a sec, and they just pushed you? Versus just being like, I just need a minute. Okay. You take a deep breath. And like 5 seconds later, you're like, I'm ready. And you count down and you jump, right? You jump rather than pushed. So just kind of feel that situation. And so when you're standing there with your horse, there's some part of your brain going, you should be riding, you should be riding, come on, you should be riding. And how's that making you feel? Probably worse. Probably a little bit of that internal pressure that's making whatever fear or worry you have worse. So let's take off the should. There is no should. It's okay if you never ride again. It's okay. And then there's another subject of like the you know, grieving and the, you know, relinquishing of, you know, things you could imagine you would be doing in the future, but now you can't. Like, that's another subject. But if we want to really address the fear, we have to give ourselves a break, let ourselves take that minute and take the pressure off. Right now, the pressure is coming from you and only you. So let's stop that. Have I made myself clear? Okay. So once you make peace with that, then a lot of that pressure and therefore the stress may just dissolve on its own. And I would be really curious how much dissolves just simply by doing that. And I think dissolve really is it's a key word. I chose that on purpose, right? We don't want to try to fight fear back. Going into fight mode when you're already in fight or flight mode is just going to make you more afraid, and you're going to stop trusting yourself the same way you would not trust the person who pushed you out of the plane. So we have to become friends with ourselves first. So let's say you give yourself some of that space. You don't have to do anything. Then you can sort of become clear of like, do you really want to ride? Right? Become clear on if you want to ride or not. And I think with the taking the pressure away, if you really want to ride, then you're going to start feeling like riding, like, I really want to ride today. And I've decided to give myself these 2 weeks or month of not riding and just sort of sitting with, I don't need to ride. And you could feel a couple things. You could feel a great relief and go, you know, the riding is just too much stress these days. Like, maybe I'm just going to play on the ground. And you might feel really good about that. It might feel like a big, big relief. And then that's great, because now you have something else to move towards. Think of all the time you could put in on the ground and doing other things. Like, that could be really fun and interesting. Or after this grace period that you give yourself of going, I don't need to ride. I'm not going to ride. I'm going to just wait till I'm totally okay with not riding. You might start to be like a little itchy, like, I kind of really want to ride, but it's going to feel exciting. It's going to feel like something that you want to do. And then you're going to be able to work through the challenge of your nervous system from a place of, I really kind of want to ride, rather than, oh, I should be riding. All right, so this is not, I'm spending a lot of time on this. It's not a small point. This, the context and the come from, I think is so important. Okay, so I also want to mention, I'll put in the show notes, there's a video in the video classroom called Moving Through Fear, and I kind of go through some steps, these four steps you can do, four steps to go through, and then a couple little things to think about to help you move through it. And so you can, I'll add the link to that. I'll also just go through the four steps right now. So to move through fear, number one, acknowledge it. So it's really important to say, whoa, I'm feeling fear. So you've already done that. Giselle has already done that. But really, really important, and really important to acknowledge it in the first moment you feel it showing up. And the little tweak on this is to, rather than saying, I am afraid, so you can tweak it to say, whoa, I'm feeling some fear right now. Right, so just disconnect yourself from it. We don't want to identify as a fearful person. We're just a person who's feeling fear. Okay, so number one, acknowledge it. Number two, determine the source, past, present, future. And so Giselle really clearly identified the source. She's like, years ago, I had this accident. It was on the ground, but I was in the hospital and it really shook me. Okay, so the source of the fear is the past. Now, doesn't mean she's not feeling fear right now, but the source of it is in the past, and it's a very specific incident. Awesome. Good information to have. The third thing is to ask yourself, is it appropriate? Is it appropriate that I feel fear right now? And is there a real danger? And so this is where you can, you know, often I don't want to hear what my mind has to say. It's often not always that helpful, but here's a place where you can say, okay, brain, you take a look. Is there a real danger right now? And so this is where you can look at a situation. You're looking at your horse that you want to ride. You're thinking of riding him. You feel the fear come out. You realize that that fear, the source of the fear, is this past situation. But right here in the situation you're in right now, is there a real danger? Is it appropriate to feel the fear? And now sometimes it is. Like you could imagine, oh, I had this horse and in this exact situation, he kicked out, got me in the stomach, and oh, that was like a huge thing. I was in the hospital for days. And maybe in that moment you're feeling it, you're in the same position with maybe the same horse or a horse that's acting exactly the same way. And this is just wisdom going, whoa, danger. This is a bad situation to be in because I know what could happen. And that's just being smart and your body and your brain saying, warning bell, like, watch it. This situation could be dangerous, right? So that would be appropriate fear, right? Because your brain has put together that pattern of like, well, we know what can happen in this situation, right? I think we all have had at least near misses where you're like, oh, don't do that anymore. Okay. But sometimes it's not appropriate. I mean, maybe that's not the right word. Don't let that word tangle you up. But like, is there a real danger right now? And then your brain might go, well, actually, the thing that I'm scared of was a horse on the ground in XYZ situation. And now I'm looking at this completely different horse who's a completely different type. And it's a completely different situation. So it's not really a real danger right now. And that's really good information to have. And it can be very fascinating. You know, like I said, sometimes your brain is right on. It's like your brain is like, I know what happens in this exact situation. Let's, you know, stay alert. And sometimes it's way off. It's like, brain, what on earth made you think of that situation now? Like, that's not really appropriate. So we'll talk about what to do about that. But it's a really good data point to have. And it's a way to, you know, if it's our mind that is creating some of these, the fear, you know, I know it, you know, I'm not a neuroscientist, but you're going to like a base, you know, deep part of your brain, not necessarily the thinking part of your brain, but we can use the thinking part of our brain to help talk us down, right? So I always feel like if I, as many parts of my brain as possible, if I can get lined out and flying in formation working with me, the better. Okay, so you can look at it and go, should I be feeling fear? Is this appropriate or is it not? Then let's say that there's a situation in front of you and you're like, yeah, this might be a little bit of a thing. Like this, there could be a possibility, whether you're handling the horse on the ground or riding. Then you want to ask yourself, are you capable of handling what might come up? Right? So, okay, I'll just make up a situation like here's this horse. In the past, I had a horse that exploded, bucked me off. I was in the hospital. Now I have a horse in front of me who I know can explosively buck and he's kind of up and tense today. There might be a real danger. And am I capable of handling it? No, thank you. That's a good question to ask. Like, all right, well, if he explosively bucked, am I capable of handling that? And the answer might be, oh yeah, I can handle that. Or it might be no. All right. So at the end of these four questions, you're going to have a lot of information. You're going to understand that you feel some fear. You're going to realize, is this past, present, or future? You know, Is there a possibility that there is a danger and your brain is being a good friend and keeping you protected and safe? And if there is a little danger, is it something you might be capable of? So to use Giselle's example, even though she's not saying she's worried about something this horse is doing on the ground, perhaps there's, you know, in the years of experience, they had this one incident where this thing happened on the ground. She has learned. She sees it coming. It was just a thing. She might be like, yeah, okay, this horse is acting the same way. There is a possibility of a real danger. But now, with my experience these days, like, I've got it. I'm capable of handling it. I know what to do. I know how to interrupt it. I just need to pay attention right now. Okay, so that, you know, working through these questions doesn't always mean don't move forward. It could be just the moment where you're like, okay, I'm feeling this fear, but I know why. I can measure the level of danger and I can measure my skills, and I might just decide to take a deep breath, come to the present moment, use my hacks to quiet my nervous system so that then I can move forward. Or you just realize you need to not be in this situation anymore. Okay. There's also a blog I wrote about techniques to use when you feel fear with your horse. And I'll add the link to that. But it's talks about a technique I use called Maybe Today. And Maybe Today would be the next step after you do the, like, you get rid of the should and you go, fine, I'm not going to ride today. No, I don't need to ride. It's okay if I never ride this horse again, and really become okay with that. After you sit with that for a moment, the next step would be, but maybe today I will. All right, so maybe today I'll ride. And you go with it, with that in your mind, in the front of your mind. I don't know what kind of sentence that just was, but you don't wait until you might put your foot in the stirrup. you think about maybe today on your way to the barn. And you practice having this thought of maybe today I'm going to ride, but detach from the shoulds, no pressure, because maybe today you won't, is implied. But you practice thinking about the possibility that maybe you would ride, and you practice still feeling okay holding that thought. Because sometimes we can take the pressure off, you don't think about riding anymore, everything can kind of be okay until someone mentions maybe the possibility of riding, and now it all comes back. So for me, I want to practice that. I don't want to just block it out, put my hands over my ears and go bop, 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 bop. I don't even want to think about riding. Give yourself a grace period to do that, and then start bringing up the possibility and see how you feel. Because again, you might start to get into a moment where you go, maybe today I'll ride, and it actually feels like fun and exciting. And then you just have to make smart choices about when you do it. But if you keep going, you think maybe today I'll ride, and it comes swimming back with all this dread and fear and tension, then you know you have more work to do. Hey, I just wanted to take a quick second to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by the Dressage Naturally Video Classroom. Yeah, that's my program. So if you love this podcast, you will really love the video classroom. It's where you can see me coaching students, narrating my rides on horses, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and so much more. So let's see all these words put into action. Check it out with a 1-week free trial, and then it's just $29 a month after that. So even if you only watch one video a month, it is totally worth it. So what are you waiting for? Go to dressagenaturally.net/classroom. Okay, now let's get back to the pod. Okay, so I wanted to give you a little practice that I do if this sort of thing comes up, and that I've used with lots of students, and it can be super, super helpful. So the real answer to this and most things in life is presence. So I wanted to talk a little bit about an exercise of visualization. Oh, that's a hard word to say. Visualization. Anyway, I want to talk to you about the power of visualization. And it's about gently taking a little more, I don't say control of your mind, although I don't know if we can ever really control our mind, but we can start finding ways to clear the clouds, right? So when my mind is at its best, I feel like the sky. I feel like just a clear sky, spacious and lovely. And when thoughts come in, they're like little clouds, and sometimes they're bigger clouds, and sometimes they're dark, stormy clouds, and they're filling the sky. So visualization, I find, is a way to clear the clouds, and presence is a way to clear the clouds. So here's how it would work. Start to visualize or think about the situation that brings up the fear or anxiety. And so anybody listening, you might have your own specific situation, and go get really specific and really try to picture it in your mind now. If you're not driving a car or something similar, you might want to close your eyes through this. But really put yourself there. See the situation. You can either see it as if you're watching a movie of yourself and your horse, or you can visualize it and see it through your own eyes as if you're there from your point of view inside your body. And go to the point where you can feel the fear or anxiety. So that way you know you're there. You know, this is the thing you need to play with. And here's the thing. If we can if we can do that, if we can picture the situation and put ourselves there right now, and you can bring up all the nerves and the fear, right? Then we have a possibility. This, your brain is making this stuff up in a way, spoken like not a neuroscience scientist, but we have a possibility of changing it when rewiring it, but it's going to take some practice. Because actually with visualization, we have the possibility to play any kind of outcome we want. This is really good practice. And it's a great moment to use any tools that you found, like breathing techniques or moving your body, whatever. There's a lot of techniques out there that you probably use, but like, here's the time to use them. These are the tools in the toolbox. All right, so once you know what that situation is, I want you to zoom out. Now that I've got you there, I want you to zoom back, like play the tape in reverse. Go as far back as you need to until you don't feel the fear anymore. And now there might be a chance that some of you, just putting you there in that scene, like you won't be able to do that now, right? In this moment. But now at least you know you've identified the scene. And you might have to clear this for a minute before you do the rest of this exercise. But where you want to go is literally zoom back. And if you play it in reverse, like think of what's the furthest away that you can be. Like you're approaching that situation, but what's the furthest away point that you can get where you know if you took one step closer to it, you'd start to feel the fear. All right. And when you find that point, that's the edge, go a few more steps back. Like for some of you, you might be, you know, getting out of bed in the morning on the day where you're going to go visit your horse. I mean, it might be really far away. For some of you, you might not be able to get far away because you're at night sleeping, feeling the anxiety. So just go as far away as you can. And as you visualize this, like maybe see yourself walking through the park, not thinking about your horse. Just get as far away as you can. And see if you can feel a relaxed state from that furthest away point possible. And do whatever you need to do to get there. It doesn't have to, you know, for, like I said, for some of you, it'll be like getting out of your car on your, you know, when you arrive at the barn. For some of you, you're going to have to like take a imaginary flight across an ocean and be staring at flowers to get far enough away. That's okay. You're going to start to be able to measure the change. And I think if you can start to measure the change and see, oh my gosh, I was able to get XYZ closer. And I'm still okay. All right, so this is all in your mind. Start to move towards your horse. You get up, you put your riding boots on. How are you doing? You're getting in the car. How are you doing? And just notice the very, very first moment you feel any fear. And exactly, what are you picturing and telling yourself here? And because here's the choice. A moment ago, you weren't feeling fear. Now you are. Can you visualize yourself in that moment and clear the fear? So if you're picturing it and you're feeling it in your body, you're probably not watching yourself feeling fear. You're watching yourself and you are feeling fear, not your character in the visualization. And so right at that edge with whatever fear that is, some of you will be a little bit, just slightly a little bit anxious, and some of you in one step can go full on. But practice it there. Do your breathing techniques. Shake your body out. Get up. Move around. Put on music. Whatever it is, like you're not there. You're sitting in a chair thinking about it. You're sitting in a chair visualizing it. Visualization is powerful. Look how powerful it is. If you're feeling fear now, just by me talking about you visualizing it, that's how powerful it is. Can we find the powerful opposite of that? And this is where, if you don't have breathing techniques, if you don't know how to shake out your body, if you don't know about moving, like, Google it. You just go in and find every hack of the nervous system, because there's a lot out there and you have to find the one that works for you. I like to jump up and down and shake. I like to breathe. And I love to have a little more control over my mind. So I mentioned the sky and the clouds. This is for me. I picture the storm clouds are coming in. And so I'll do breathing techniques, and I tend to make a little, I like breathe audibly. And when I do this certain breathing, I'm pushing the clouds away. In my mind, I'm just blowing them out. I'm telling them, like, I am not there now. I'm sitting in my chair and I'm blowing the clouds away. And to just realize that I am experiencing anxiety, I'm experiencing fear, but right now I'm sitting in my house, I'm safe, and I can blow those clouds away. And I'm practicing. I'm practicing being okay with just the thought of it. Now, this is not about thinking positively or pretending things are different than they are. It's about noticing and practicing dissolving all the unnecessary tension, the rerunning of the past stories, the worrying about what might happen, all the things that are taking us out of the present moment. And then at the same time, we will get very practical. Is there something you need help with your horse, as far as the training or the communication? This is where you'll ask yourself the question, if only fill in the blank was going better, I wouldn't be so afraid. And then we go there and we make real improvements. But it really is the combination of things. If we just approach it from a training point of view and we say, well, I need my horse to be doing XYZ perfectly, and then I won't be afraid. But we never were, you know, as far as Giselle's example, like, she wasn't saying there was anything he was doing about the riding that was making her afraid to ride him. It was all past stuff. So in the question that was asked, it's all about becoming in the present moment and being able to make friends with your mind and say, thank you, mind, for keeping me safe. Thank you so much. But let's look at this. That was different. This is here and now. That was there and then. But thank you for telling me, because I will look at it so I can be smart and wise and make good choices. But if the fear is coming up, when you're thinking about it, like, that's the place to practice it. And I found I had lots of practice to do that, lots of opportunities to practice. So you're only with your horse for a certain number of hours of the day, but all the other hours of the day, like, man, that you could do 1,000 repetitions of imagining doing the thing, visualize doing the thing, and practice calming your nervous system, because your nervous system doesn't know the difference. And you might as well practice it when you're not with your horse. Practice being able to visualize the situation, feel the fear, and then use those techniques 1,000,000 times a day. It will help. Then again, at the same time, we get practical and go, okay, why is there anything that this horse is doing that would make me feel more confident to do the thing? And you'll be able to think more clearly because you'll have practice dissolving the fear. And so you want to think about these things like, well, yeah, he's doing this and this, and I don't feel like communication is very good. And he gets a little, you know, funny here and there. And I'm not comfortable with that. Then we can say, okay, what could we do about this? Do we need somebody else to come and train the horse a little bit more to get the horse a little more ahead? Do you need to see somebody else ride it just to see, so you can look and go, oh my gosh, yeah, he does look really balanced and calm? Do you need a little more structure in your training, or do you need to take the pressure off? So there's a million training choices we can do, but related to this question, she didn't mention those, right? So that's the power of just the mind. And also wanted to say, like, you don't have to go it alone with stuff like this. Often, a lot of us are in situations where we're kind of by ourselves. And that is something I think about more. I'm like, oh, am I the only one on the property as I'm bouncing around bareback and bridleless and, you know, on these horses? And maybe that's not so smart. So, like, look at your situation. Maybe you just need to have a person around. Or the right person around, right? So on the one hand, being able to take your time and do things exactly at your own pace with nobody watching can be super helpful. But also, you know, if there's people around you that you trust, that get you, that have your best interest in mind, they can, you know, a one word from somebody you trust going, that looks great, or he looks really calm, or like, oh, it looks like you're getting a little disconnected. It can really be helpful. And if things are going okay, but you're still just a little anxious, having someone there just to distract you a little bit, like the healthy kind of distraction, not to take your attention away from the task at hand, but to take your attention away from the past, that other situation that has nothing to do with the situation, someone who can help you laugh or that you can sing with, you know, and keep you in the present moment, to keep you from getting stuck replaying the past or worrying about the future. Anyway, I hope that's helpful. I'm just sort of having I have this image of a lot of people listening to this podcast kind of like nodding in acknowledgement. So I think, Giselle, you are definitely not alone. And for anybody who's never experienced anything like this, well, I hope you never do. I hope you never have an accident or anything scary that shakes you up. I really don't. But if you do, tuck this in your pocket, because maybe you have a friend who this could be helpful for. Yeah, that's it. So let me know how this helps. And I look forward to answering even more of you guys' questions in the future. All right, bye. If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email, or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse, move in harmony, and enjoy the process.